We are joined now on set, and we're pleased to have Cordell Stewart slash. You were the original running, throwing quarterback. And I know that Fran Tarkington and that there were others that came before you.
Yeah.
But, dude, you revolutionized things. You probably came along 15 years too early. Would you agree with that?
And probably about $100 million left, too. at the time in which I came in, Jay and Molly, it was fun times for me. Coming out of Colorado, I had an opportunity on the Bill McCartney to be able to allow my talents to just kind of flourish throughout the offense. Les Steckel, Rick Neuheisel, Coach McCartney, Elliot Uzlak, all these guys really tried to find a way to take this style of a quarterback opposite of what they had with Darren Higgin and Vance Joseph and those guys and Salinesi before their time, being an option pass quarterback. I came in, my size, my speed, my strength, and we started throwing the football a little bit. Before you know it, you know, I was a guy that could throw the ball pretty well. And then when I got to the National Football League, going through the combine process and being asked, would you play other positions? And I was like, sure, as long as I get an opportunity to be quarterback in this league. And Coach Kyra lived up to that and had a chance to be slashed my first year, catching the ball.
How fun was that?
So
man,
cool.
You know what? You know, as we all do at home as kids, whatever sport it is, we have a tendency to play everything on the field, right? Or on the court.
Yeah.
Little league growing up, defensive lineman, free safety, mm-hmm. running back, a little bit of quarterback. Now all of a sudden I get to the National Football League, the highest level of the football. And my guys back at home, they said, man, I caught those balls better than you. I said, but I'm doing it in National Football League.
Yeah,
so
there
then
you
I
go.
Get the nickname before you know it, it was off to the races.
You see those hybrid players a lot in college football. You'll see a quarterback that's going to, you know, catch some passes, maybe run with the ball. Could you ever really see that being successful in today's NFL?
Well, sure. I mean, it just depends on how creative the offensive coordinators are. Mm-hmm. How willing is the head coach and management ready to see that style of football be played.
And to put a quarterback at risk by putting him at a position like wide receiver where he can take
a hit
over the middle that ends everything.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't take playing wide receiver to hurt yourself. Look at Carson Wentz.
No, I totally understand that. But I think there's when you send a guy over the middle.
Over the middle, yes.
Something about that equates a blindside hit to a quarterback. It is jarring on a body.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, when you're a player, you just go play.
You don't
worry about that. And honestly, when I played the game, it wasn't a thing of, you know, if you play the quarterback position, you either have to look like this, you have mm-hmm. to stand like that, you have to understand this way. It was just when you get the play, understand it, know where to go with the football, be a leader in the huddle, get the guys to understand what they need to do. If you're capable of putting guys in the right position, because not everyone is initially, you do that. Mm-hmm. And then when it's time to play the other stuff, because that's what you naturally can do. I mean, what else are you supposed to do? I mean, if Coach asked me to go across the middle, you know, I had to honestly say, okay, as a former quarterback at this moment in time playing wide receiver, I knew where I was supposed to be based
on being
a quarterback.
Yeah.
So that's why in my first year at Slash, I was capable of being in those areas where Neil O'Donnell can throw the football, and it seemed like it was extremely easy only because I was thinking like a quarterback playing the wide receiver.
You knew
position.
Where the wide receiver was supposed
huge
to be.
That's what you
there.
See with Hines Ward, right, mm-hmm. in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He was once a quarterback. See, he doesn't run the greatest routes in the world. We all can attest. We all can honestly say, in comparison to a Randy Moss, in comparison to a T.O.,
right.
Hines is your more football, athletic, wide receiver guy who understands the concepts of being a quarterback to where when it's time now to run those routes, he knows more where to be than it was being a precise.
Julian Edelman obviously. Was a quarterback in college.
That's why you see the way he plays the game. He doesn't play it as if, you know, he's the Jerry Rices of the world or the Chris Carters. And I know I mentioned Hall of Fame guys, but those are technicians at running the routes, you know, Torrey Holtz. But when you see the Edelmans coming out and understanding where to be, it allows Tom Brady and whomever else, Jimmy Garoppolo at the time or Jacoby Brissett, understanding where they need to be. They were there right on time. That's why the anticipation looks so good.
That's a huge advantage. You said when players are on the field, they just play. Well, Rob Gronkowski coming off of a concussion in the AFC Championship game, that was across the middle. Do you think that he or Tom Brady are going to approach playing this game any differently because of that?
No, I just thought it was a bang-bang play.
Yeah.
When Rob Gronkowski got injured.
Do you think the hit was clean?
Based on the rules? No, because it was a head-to-head.
Yeah.
Based on football itself, what we know, think of Ronnie Lott.
Right.
Those were bad plays. I mean, yeah. He probably would have lost every contract because he had so many bad hits.
He would have missed a lot of weeks with suspension.
Yeah. It would have been pretty bad. He broke record, actually. Been hard to get groceries at times. But my thing is when you see plays like that one that took place on Rob Gronkowski, I mean, you hope it's not the one that determines the outcome of the game.
Right.
Of course.
But it was one of those bang-bang plays where for Jacksonville, great for them because Rob Gronkowski wasn't in. Now what do you do? But Amendola steps up, makes some great plays, forced his defense to be on the heels, backpedaled all day, different than what we've seen him do all day.
Well, the change of pace was what blew up the game for Jacksonville. Yep. They had scored 3 points with Gronk on the field. And after the injury, 21 points later, the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the beautiful thing, and I hate to say this about a New England Patriots team because we never had opportunities to win the big games against them.
Are you a hater? It's okay. Are you a hater?
I'm a realist.
No, are you a hater?
Are you a hater? I'm
Cordell.
A realist.
You know what hater means? You know what hater means? That you don't like that they win. You don't like how they win.
Are you a hater?
No.
So you appreciate the greatness, but you're not signing up.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all.
Look, at least you're honest. The Steelers and the Patriots, and this is a real thing.
Yeah, it is.
When I worked at ESPN, we would have a number of Steelers analysts and a number of Patriots analysts, and even after their careers and they're working at the same place, I'm not going to say they weren't cordial to one another, but there wasn't any love between one and another.
When you get the information, you know, based on what happened, especially after that 2001 season, 2002 AFC Championship, you start hearing all the Spygate and all this crazy. You get to a point where you start asking questions. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when you get, you know, where is it? You had some draft picks taken away. You got fined some money. So now when you have this stuff documented, you ask yourself the question. And then they play the Rams, and you hear the questions from the Rams like, man, we never ran this play before during the year. We've only done this in practice, this formation, where we were going to put. And they knew exactly what to
do. Come on. So,
do you think that gave them a real advantage?
I deserve to have a ring on my finger.
Let me tell you. Wait a minute. Let me say something. And, you know, I'm a Browns fan.
Of course you are.
No dog in this fight.
I'm sorry.
But here's what I will say. From watching Bill and closely when he was with the Browns.
Yeah.
And we learned this again last night. I don't know if you were able to see the documentary, The Two Bills, but Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells sitting down. And the one thing that I think no fans of other teams should ever be surprised about is that his defenses are ready for whatever comes their way.
And
it doesn't matter if it's a play they haven't seen before. Part of Bill's empowering of the players is for them to be able to recognize what they're seeing on the field, adjust to it in real time. Mm-hmm. And I get that there were certain plays that had never been run before that the Patriots were ready for and stopped.
Yeah.
The trying to make the leap from that to, well, what do they have, tape of the Rams practices? I think that's conspiracy theory to the nth degree. You don't really believe that, do you?
I do.
He does. You can tell. You say with conviction.
This is why I do, because I don't have my ring on my finger right now.
So it's just bitterness.
Yes, it is.
More than anything else.
Let it go.
It's okay.
It's gone.
It's okay.
Don't get me wrong. It's gone because here's the deal. It's not like they only won the championship that one time. That's why that's the difference between the hater and just being a realist. That it wasn't like that was the only win of a championship.
Right.
They've gone on and done it multiple times. So now
it's
less of a frustration over years to where the greatness is real. I mean, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, with what they've been able to do, even without Josh McDaniels for that short time going to Denver.
Sure.
What they've been able to do is you can't put it in words. I mean, when you say hater, it's almost like you hate that they're winning. No, it's not that I'm hate that they're winning. It's just my one experience at that time. And then you hear all the conspiracy theories behind it. It's always the, is it true? Is it not true? So it's always going to be the asterisk that sits around that one for me.
For you.
For the Jerome Bettises, for the Pittsburgh Steelers fan, for the organization. And some may not talk about it because you sound like, oh, you hadn't let it go. But still, I mean, how many players want to be done playing football, period? You got to let it go, right? Well, I'm not letting it go.
How does this affect how you look at the entire dynasty in this run? I mean, 3 and 4 years in the beginning of the 2000s. Yeah. Now it's 3 and 4 years. If they win on Sunday, it's unbelievable. I'm going to ask you a tough question. Is this the best stretch you've seen for a franchise in NFL history? Because I know the Steelers have their history as well.
Well, the Steelers' history has been done starting in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it picked back up in the latter part, the mid part of the 90s, when we went to Dallas, went to Tempe to play against the Cowboys in Super Bowl 30.
The NFL's different now.
I know, to what Ben Roethlisberger has been able to do. I mean, that's a stretch of time. That's 30 to 40 plus years. But what they've done since Tom Brady has stepped on the field, starting in 2001 sporadically and then playing that Super Bowl in 2002, I mean, you can't honestly, you know, as an athlete and as a competitor, that's what you dream to have an opportunity to be a part of. Let's just be realistic. And, of course, when you have that many Vince Lombardis in that span of time, when you win the way they win, anybody that says anything that's dealing with resistance, you're either a hater or you just don't want to buy into it. And that's not necessarily the case, because there's some envy. There's some jealousy.
Of course.
But at the same time, when you see this one guy, number 12, as a former quarterback, watching Tom Brady do what he's doing right now at 40 years of age, you ask the question, what more, going back to Cleveland, the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
You ask the question, what does LeBron James need to do, right? So he gets with Hakeem Olajuwon. He works on that little back down, you know, in the paint because he's so big. And then he does the fall away Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
Improves his three-point shooting.
So he improves. So now all of a sudden you look at Tom Brady and what he's done. And you say, okay, he's done the bubble screen early on. That was just kind of to ease him into the game with the Troy Browns of the world. And then as time progresses, he gets to Randy Mosses. And then all of a sudden you really get an opportunity to see a star. And then he does it with Edelman, Amendola. Okay, Rob Gronkowski goes out. Edelman goes out.
Yeah.
Amendola's up. Brandon Cooks come from New Orleans.
Next guy.
I mean, we could keep going on and on. It's just unbelievable.
You played the position, so I'm really curious to hear your answer on this, because we've all tried to dissect the greatness of Tom Brady and what it is that separates him from everybody else to do it. I think the agreement is he's the GOAT. And Burt Breer was in earlier this week. He said he's not just the GOAT, he's running up the score on everybody else. So of all of the skill sets that are required to play quarterback at that level, what separates him from everyone else that's ever done it?
Whatever his weaknesses are, he corrects them as he goes. Do people always ask this question? Who's the better quarterback? Who would you start your team with? Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? And I start breaking down. I give him as many superlatives as I can about Aaron Rodgers, because what he does better than what he does better than anyone in the National Football League is when he's in trouble, he's as accurate as it gets.
Yeah.
In the pocket, it's kind of that Brett Favre,
He
needs to freelance a little bit more. Where Tom Brady lacks in being able to have that type of ability, in being able to be that athlete, so to speak.
Because he's not as mobile.
He does it between the ears in the pocket, regardless of how condensed the pocket gets. I mean, he has stitches on top of his thumb on his throwing hand. He still is following through, not necessarily trying to find the softest spot in the pocket, but just being able to throw the ball with anticipation, because these guys have the understanding of where they need to be and what they're trying to do. And I got to be honest with you, man. It's like I've watched him over the years, and for some reason this year, something different than I've seen him do, I would say better than any other year. It's that Rob Gronkowski or even the Amendolas or the Brandon Cooks, it's that little 15-yard throw where he throws it up in the air, and it drops in the bucket.
The touch ball.
Right?
Yeah.
Just 15 yards, though. You know how hard that is to throw that?
Yeah.
15 yards, a little bucket throw. And he throws it to Rob Gronkowski, where you have a linebacker underneath, you have the cornerback on the outside, and the safety sitting on top. So you tell me that Aaron Rodgers is better than this guy? And he's done it with how many different receivers since he stepped on the football field?
Right.
Now, we have this conversation about he's done more with less. Mm-hmm. I agree with that to an extent. And when you say more, doing more with less, it's because athletically, when you think of the other receivers that maybe Aaron Rodgers have had over his years, the Donald Drivers, the Cobbs, the Jordy Nelsons, we can go on and on with those receivers. Maybe their offense is not as elusive in a sense as we see in the New England Patriots offense, because whenever it's time to go that quick pace offense, that's what Aaron Rodgers doesn't have. When it's time to make that key decision, regardless of who's in the lineup, you lose Rob Gronkowski, Amendola steps up and he becomes the hero of the game at the receiver position. Have we ever seen Aaron Rodgers do anything like that before? Yeah, he made great plays. Yes, he's won a championship. But that was with the leftovers, I would like to say, of what Brett Favre had. So now after that, now this is your football team afterwards.
Yeah.
Now what's the story?
Tom's done it with so much roster revolution.
Changing. Yeah. I mean, it's been so much
change. It's constantly changing.
A lot of underrated players and a lot of smaller receivers, too. What's been the difference with the Pats receivers? How have they found success with those smaller guys? Like Brandon Cooks, I think he's like 5'10".
Well, the thing is for some reason, and a lot of great coaches come through the National Football League before my time, during my time, and after me. But, you know, from the run of Bill Belichick having a chance to be with Bill Parcells to, you know, making that run and that stint with the Cleveland Browns, and all of a sudden he gets with the New England Patriots. I don't know how it worked, but he found a way to find these receivers that buy into what they're doing. And he finds a way to get a Brandon Cooks, who's the most explosive receiver on the team, to grab a Randy Moss that seemed like he was on the back end of his career ready to leave because of him just losing the let's just say, the excitement about the game, opposite of what we saw in Minnesota.
Then they go and rewrite the offensive record book.
Come on, man. So it's like whatever it is, if it's being a hypnotist or whatever the case may be in that office when these guys come in, they buy into what's asked. And let's just be transparent. You know, we talk about it, but it's real. Those dink and dunk routes of 5 to 8 yards, those crossing routes that he throws better than most, I mean, after these guys catch the football, then they become the athletes. Now, when I say, you know, doing more with less, we're talking about at the line of scrimmage, what will they're imposing on the defense. And if you're looking at that, you say to yourself, can he win that battle? 8 out of 10 times, you're probably going to say no. Jalen Ramsey against a Brandon Cooks, you'll probably say, as much as I love a Brandon Cooks, Jalen Ramsey, because he has that dog and defenses normally win when it comes to physicality and being aggressive. They have a tendency to win, but these guys and this coaching staff, mainly, it's like they're the 12th man, truthfully.
Yeah.
It's like they find a way to find your weakness. They struggle in the first half, but when it comes to making those adjustments, down 25 points, 28-3 against Atlanta. I don't think no one will ever forget that. And in order for this Eagles team to make a run in this game, I say this all the time on my show on No Huddle with Brian Weber, with TuneIn, is – you have to be prepared to play for 62-plus minutes, not 60 minutes. 60 minutes is enough for New England to win. That 62nd to 65th minute, that's when it matters most, because now you have to take it to overtime. If you're thinking that you're going to be up 20-10, because we have this philosophy of we're going to run the football, we're going to keep this offense on the sideline, we're going to get this defense that's the best. I mean, how many turnovers they had this year, Jacksonville? They had, what, a total of, what, 18 turnovers?
Right.
Force fumbles to get 13 recovered. Of those 13, they take 6 back to the house. Who recovers the football off of a fumble and take it back to the house 6 times? That's over 40% of the time. That's unbelievable.
What's tough, though, is when you live off of that, often you can die by
and
that.
That's what happens.
Because you're playing teams in the playoffs that take care of the football.
Yeah.
And when you have a team that thrives defensively and even puts points up the on the board, then when you're in a game where the defense doesn't score, you realize how important those scores are, and that hurts.
It does. And this is the thing that I say to many, and I think Steve Young said it in the 1994 NFC Championship game playing against Dallas, Candlestick Park. And I remember he was talking about that game and how he said one thing they couldn't do was just kick field goals. Because you kick 2 field goals, they score a touchdown. Worst case scenario, the game is tied.
It's two possessions to one.
You hear what I'm saying? So it's like, when watching the latter part of that second half of that Jacksonville game, you end up seeing a delay of game. You got the penalty. Then all of a sudden, the defense comes out on the football field. Boye, he ends up getting the penalties on Brandon Cooks. They run up and down the field like it's nothing. Before that half is over, it's 14-10 with 55 seconds left to go. Now, here's the question. With Blake Bortles having a tendency to throw interceptions, right? Because of their system and what they came in with their game plan for, it's running the football, sitting them on the sideline, the cliche conversation you have about offenses that are explosive. 55 seconds left on the clock. You're inside the, 30-yard line, minus 30-yard line. If Blake Bortles have to throw a screen, he has to throw the football, he throws an interception, it's either 14-13 or the score is now 17-14. Blake Bortles is a guy that they like because he plays within the scheme very well, and when he's not throwing interceptions, they win all of their games other than the last one.
Yeah.
You know, you say, I don't want to take the chance. I depend on
my defense. Well, they're built that way.
I depend on my defense.
Right.
But the third of this team is the best part of this team, and that's the defense.
Yeah.
So now when they start to get ran through with this two-minute drill, now what do you do?
Yeah.
So when they come on the second half, they run a two-minute offense. Now it's back to, you know, Ricky Jean-Francois, what does he do? He breaks through the line of scrimmage. He tackles Leonard Fournette for a loss. A few losses. So now it's second and 12.
They're off schedule.
And now they're off
schedule. And now Blake has to beat you.
And now it looks like he has to beat you, which, again, it goes back to the 12th man, this coaching staff.
Yeah.
That knows how to make the adjustments at halftime. And, again, that's why I say I'm not a hater. I'm still frustrated because what they've done since has been beyond words. The city, that area there in New England is about as lucky as it gets to have this team of coaches and Mr. Kraft that understands how to keep this the nucleus of what matters on this football team together.
Yeah. Very blessed.
Egos are truly out the window. And I think that's been a demise of a lot of teams throughout the National Football League. Think about my Steelers. I love them to death. And I know I'm on you guys' network here in New England. And I know they're going to love this when I say it. But, you know, I can't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
They'll say
it.
We got to stop complaining.
Yeah.
Just play football. Talent-wise, who has the better offense talent-wise, Pittsburgh or New England?
Well, there's no question. There's no question that the Steelers have an all-pro offense.
Yeah.
With Le'Veon Bell.
They
you can make the argument they have the best receiver, the best running back with Brown, Bell, and Ben.
Yeah.
What does that tell you then? Is that a coaching thing? It's a Tom Brady plus coaching. Yeah.
The 12th man again. It's like the hypnotism process that no one's willing to talk about. There's something going on behind
the Patriot
curtain.
Way.
It's Belichick.
There it is. And so when you look at it that way, you have to respect it.
Yeah,
when you win, and you consistently do it, especially.
We got to go, so we don't have a lot of time. I want you to, in 45 seconds, tell us what you're up to now, and then give us your optimum prediction for who wins Super Bowl 52.
Well, I'm with TuneIn Radio. My show's called New Huddle. We're with the NFL. Myself and Brian Weber, we're on Monday through Friday, 4 to 7.
Awesome.
All the time. You can actually reach out to us on One Team TuneIn. The game can actually be listened to on our show.
Oh, great.
It's unlocked to where you don't have to get the premium package, so you get a chance to listen to it technically for free, play-by-play. So when looking at this game, this is going to be a very good game, in my opinion, for Bill Belichick. I think this is going to test his greatness. For this reason, that RPO system,
right?
You cannot, there's not a one answer, a one-off answer on how to stop that. You saw Nick Foles kind of get better as time progressed, right? Not so much in the last two games of the season because everything was done, right? They had on-field advantage throughout, number one seed. But when you look at what he's done against Atlanta, 23 of 30, did what New England did against Atlanta, James White in the flat. They end up killing him in the flat. So he goes 23 of 30, just hitting routes, balls to the guys in the flat. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden you look into the next game. They don't go lateral. Now they go vertical because of the RPOs. And the question is, how will they go up against this with Nick Foles having the confidence to run it? Whether it be they've gone back to talk
that
to Chip Kelly.
That is the question. How will they stop it?
I mean, it's hard. I mean, because we
did it
in my son's high school. My son's high school does this stuff. And I'm the coach on the offensive side of football. And I sometimes get confused when the quarterback's going to pull it or hand it off.
Hmm.
Because only
the read is last second. So not even the offense knows until Nick makes the decision
the offensive line
where the ball is going, especially the offensive
because
line.
It all happens
so final
point.
Score of Super Bowl 52 and the winner is?
Because I think this Philadelphia team is capable of going for 61.5 minutes and New England can go 65. I don't think it'll need that much.
Yeah,
I'm going with Philadelphia.
Really?
I'm going Philadelphia. Okay. It's going to be a close game. It's been close every year for New England.
All right.
Yeah.
But I knew there was no chance you came on here and picked the Patriots.
What do you think I am? What do you think is going on here, Jay?
But you know, I love you. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Steeler Nation's happy with your pick.
Yes,
it's fine.
Of course they are.
Good to see you, Cordell.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah, well.
It's okay. That's why we have a wide variety of voices on the Not Done Network.
Yep.